We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you were looking for football, you have come to the right place. We welcome you to hour number two on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. But again, not any regular Football Friday, a divisional round Football Friday for what is one of, if not the best weekends of football each and every year in the National Football League. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. Throughout the entirety of these 3 hours, we will preview and take a deep dive into every divisional round matchup. We're talking totals. We're talking spreads. We're talking player props and those individuals that will impact the outcomes of all four games this weekend continuously. So, Joe, let's continue to dive right in. In the opening hour, we focused on our two matchups in the AFC. The marquee matchup to end out divisional round weekend on Sunday night in Western New York. A game we all expect to hopefully live up to its billing between the Bills and the Ravens and become an instant classic in NFL playoff history right away. Now we're talking Kansas City, the two-time reigning Super Bowl champions, hosting the Houston Texans, and we dive even deeper into the prop market. Nico Collins of the Texans has the highest receiving yards number for this matchup tomorrow afternoon, kicking at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, 82.5. But Joe, it really is worthy. C.J. Stroud last week against the Bolts threw for 282 yards and a touchdown. 122 of those yards to Collins, the touchdown also to Nico Collins, plus 180 price to hit Pater. And then you look at Travis Kelce. Again, much like the Chiefs in general, if they're a little bit lackluster at times throughout a regular season, just wait until it is the playoffs. Travis Kelce is in the business of setting postseason history. He has 1,903 receiving yards in his playoff career, second to Jerry Rice. He has 19 playoff receiving touchdowns, second only behind Jerry Rice. He has 165 postseason receptions. That's the most in NFL playoff history. And he has the highest receiving yards prop for Kansas City tomorrow against Houston.
Yeah, well, it feels like Travis Kelce probably poised to have a big game here. I mean, he has now played in, 22 postseason games, including the Super Bowls, right? He has also, I believe, exceeded this number, Ben, of 52.5, 53.5. He's exceeded that number in a lot of those. In fact, I believe 18 of the 22 postseason games he's played in, he's gotten more than that, including at least 13 straight to go over that 53.5. I don't see any reason why we would think that should change here. And I also don't think Nico Collins gets anywhere near 82.5, considering that the Chiefs secondary have only allowed 83 yards to just four wide receivers all year. That includes the Week 18 game in which they played nobody. But he was targeted 10 times in that first game, and he only got it to 60 yards. They're not going to let Nico Collins beat them deep yards after the catch here. I think it's a fade of Nico Collins here.
And I know we're not expecting a ton of offense, lowest total of the weekend at 41.5. But some of these numbers are just drastically low. Xavier Worthy has emerged in his rookie year. Hollywood Brown is back and healthy. DeAndre Hopkins not even listed with a receiving yards number in the 30s. They brought Nuke in to be a guy that could be trusted in these significant spots. We'll talk more about Travis Kelce a little bit later on. So that's how this weekend will play out. Our two matchups in the AFC. It starts the entirety of the weekend tomorrow in Arrowhead, where the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs are an 8.5-point favorite against the Houston Texans. It ends in the AFC as well in Western New York on Sunday night, the Bills and the Ravens. Again, the Chiefs, a favorite to win the AFC title, plus 135. Baltimore, second best price, plus 210. Buffalo, third best number, only 30 cents behind at plus 240. If the odds hold, Kansas City is going to be at least a slight favorite at home for an AFC championship game, playing in an AFC title game for seven consecutive seasons inside Arrowhead for six of those 7 years. Let's turn our attention now over to the NFC. Our first game on Sunday is where we begin. In Philadelphia, 6.5-point spread in favor of the Eagles, a total at 44 and a hook. Now down to 43.5 from where it was yesterday and back to the opening number. Joe, this line is not necessarily north of a touchdown like both of our games on Saturday, but it also is pretty close to a touchdown. Do you think this game will look more competitive than that spread might indicate for the link on Sunday afternoon?
Well, you know, Rams, you certainly hope so here. And I think this is a game that it correlates to both of these teams and the under with the total there, Ben. I mean, listen, you are LA. You're going to be on a short week. You got the weight of the world and an entire city on your shoulders. Unbelievable job in Arizona under all of that stress and all of those conditions. Now Matt Stafford, very experienced, going to have to go on the road in the elements. And by the way, Ben, it doesn't look like it's going to be a great weather day when these two teams play. Yeah. There's a possible rain, snow. That has not been a recipe for success for Matt Stafford over the years. But if anybody can keep this game competitive, well, it's going to have to be the Rams defense here. And both of these teams play extremely the same way, right? They're going to want to run the ball, especially Philadelphia. Play great defense, run the ball, own time of possession, and end the game. I don't see that changing in this game here. The question is, can the Rams defense, who has improved a lot since we last saw this these two play, if they do, I think this game stays woefully under the total unless we get some sort of defensive touchdowns here, which I don't think we will with Stafford. I don't see how we get over this number. I also think you're asking the Eagles to do a lot here to win this by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, especially if this game does stay under 43.5 with two brilliant defensive displays from both of these teams last weekend to start off the postseason. Joe, I hear what you're saying about travel logistics and playing outdoors for a team that hails from Los Angeles, California. I'm not overly concerned about the Rams portion, but I do believe being at home for Philadelphia is incredibly favorable, not just home field advantage. The Eagles have been home in their own beds, in their own practice facility, going through the routine for a long time now. Week 17, 18 at home, barely played their starters in those two matchups. And then they were at home last weekend as well, quickly dispatching the Green Bay Packers. They have been home for nearly a month. At no other point of the season throughout a long and arduous NFL campaign are you home for this extended of an amount of time. That, I think, is a big benefit to the Birds. And again, back to that total, 43.5. The Rams allowed 9 points last weekend to the Vikings. The Rams have not allowed double digits in their last four games with full reinforcements in all of their starters out there. Philadelphia, after a 2-2 start this year, has played in 14 games. They've won 13. They've gone under in 10. The reason the Eagles are here and a heavy favorite to advance back to the NFC Championship, Joe, is mainly because of Vic Fangio and that defense.
And they got better as the season goes on here. And I expect the defense, both defenses, to be the stars of this game here, Ben. And Philadelphia, 12-2-1 to the under in their last 15 home playoff games.
Yeah, that's a very, very heavy trend. We'll talk player props and the outcome next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our first division round matchup of our doubleheader on Sunday in Philadelphia is an intriguing one. 6.5-point spread in favor of the Birds at home inside Lincoln Financial Field with a total of 43.5. If you watched the games last week for both of these teams, the defenses were brilliant, shutting down the opposition mainly for the entirety of the football game. The offenses took advantage when they had to, but they weren't really tasked with doing all that much. As we compare the quarterbacks for this matchup in Philly, Matthew Stafford, the veteran for Los Angeles. Jalen Hurts on the other side for Philadelphia. Joe, who will need to step up the most for their team to win a game in advance of the NFC Championship?
Well, if I'm the coaches in this game on the defensive side, I need Jalen Hurts to beat me. I do not want Saquon Barkley beating me. So I might sell out a little bit to make sure that Saquon Barkley is under control and doesn't run all over you. And they did a pretty good job against featured backs this year, Ben. I think DeAndre Swift was the only guy that they really allowed to kind of get the edge on him here. I do think they are going to sell out to stop the run, and that's going to force Jalen Hurts to have to throw the ball to beat this team. He looked a little rusty last week here, and the way they like to play isn't dropping him back 30, 35 times in a game, right, Ben. But I think the Rams are going to try to force that issue and let Jalen Hurts' arm beat them and not the running game.
Of course, it was Jalen Hurts in his first action since week number 16. Did not have to do all that much. Three plays after they forced that fumble on the opening kickoff return, he had all day to sit back there, connected with Jahan Dotson in the back of the end zone. That's basically all Philadelphia needed. 13 of 21, 131 yards, two passing scores for Hurts. Also had 36 on the ground. His rushing yards prop, 39.5. So maybe it's not the quarterbacks that do lead the wagon. Matthew Stafford under in four straight games he has started. Conveniently, four straight games, Los Angeles has allowed fewer than 10 points in each and every one, 33 in total. Three games allowing 9, one game allowing just 6. It's going to be a big running back day, Joe, especially on a cold day in Philly. Some snow expected. How much we will see on the Northeast, that remains to be seen. But two running backs that have really carried the load offensively for these teams all year, and especially as of late. Saquon Barkley, nearly a buck 20 on the ground last week against the Packers, his 12th time in 17 games through the century mark this year. Kyren Williams, slightly over this number, but again, a guy that has been tasked with a ton of rush attempts as the Rams have focused things defensively over the last month, plus 74.5. His number, 111.5, is that rushing yards prop for Saquon Barkley. Joe, how critical will it be for both of these offenses come Sunday afternoon to, frankly, establish the run?
Oh, they better, especially in the elements. We know what we're going to get here. And listen, Philadelphia has a clear blueprint on how they like to win games. And they like to win games by owning the time of possession, moving the chains, 16, 17 play drive, bends. We have seen it time and time again, which is why their numbers are so ridiculous to the under. Again, 12-2-1 to the under in their last 15 home playoff games. And by the way, Jalen Hurts, 5-1 to the under in his 6 playoff games. So they are going to want to control and play their brand of football, which is dominate in the trenches, run block, blow guys off the ball. The Rams defense is going to have their hands full. And if you're Williams, You need to get all, I mean, that Rams offensive line has been a problem all year long with injuries, Ben. But they need Kyren Williams to have himself a day, because they cannot allow Matt Stafford to just sit back there and allow this defense of Philadelphia to come after him time and time again. So they need to have a threat of a running game. They need some early success in this game if they're going to have any chance of actually winning this game and pulling off the upset in Philly.
And Joe, three of our four division round matchups feature a rematch from the regular season, including these two teams, week number 12 on a Sunday night in L.A. The Rams, since a dreadful 1-4 start, were an underdog five times with all of their starters out there, including Matthew Stafford. They have won four games outright. They have lost and not covered once. It was that Sunday night game against the Eagles. The reason I draw back to that regular season matchup, the Eagles scored 37 points. The Rams, a very different defense from that point in the year to where they are now. But Saquon Barkley had a career and record-shattering day. 26 carries, 255 yards, two touchdowns, both of Barkley's rushing scores, 70-plus yards. In terms of the distance he had to go to hit Pater. Of course, I don't need to tell any of you this, and certainly Chris Shula, LA's DC, understands that can't happen on Sunday if the Rams are going to keep this game close. Now we go to the receivers. Will the real Cooper Kupp please stand up? 41.5 is receiving yards prop. Puka Nacua stayed under his number a week ago against Minnesota. Tyler Higbee, actually the leading receiver for L.A., expects to play despite having been in the hospital Monday night after the win against the Vikings. Will A.J. Brown be reading or go over his receiving yards prop? That also a conversation piece for Sunday.
Well, I think he'll definitely be reading at some particular point, one way or the other. I think Dallas Goedert is interesting, too, because I believe they're, you know, the Rams defensively have struggled a little bit here with pass-catching tight ends. And, again, given the way that Philadelphia likes to play, that's a low number. It's a low reception number, too, as well, 3.5. I could see him having, you know, 5 or 6 catches in this game for sure. And then it's all about Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, isn't it? How many times can they get them the ball in space will determine how many points they get.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Puka Nacua stayed under that number. Again, they didn't have to do much offensively, did LA, against the Vikings to win that game on Monday night in Glendale, Arizona. Puka Nacua's rushing yards prop, 2.5, which he went over last week. Shout out to Joe Frizzo, our producer, and an astute handicapper there. To Detroit on a Saturday night. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A division around football Friday live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. We have talked about three of our four division around matchups this weekend. Everybody trying to earn a spot in a conference championship game. The Detroit Lions hoping to continuously make history in the Motor City. The Lions last year won a division in the NFL for the first time in 3 decades, thus hosted a playoff game in Detroit for the first time in 30 years as well. Won a playoff game for the first time in 32 seasons. Played in the NFC title game for the first time in that same span, 32 years. And now, Joe, are the favorites to play and win a Super Bowl. That would be a first in Lions franchise history as well. Now, Detroit as an NFL organization won NFL championships back in the late 1950s, but the Lions have never even played in a Super Bowl. Expected to chart uncharted territory starting tomorrow night as the one seed for the first time ever in franchise history hosting the Commanders at home. An 8.5-point spread in favor of the Lions, the highest total of the divisional round weekend at 55.5. Based on those numbers, what are you expecting for Saturday night in the Motor City?
It's so hard with these two teams here, right? Obviously, Detroit at home has been It's been a wagon, Ben. It's been an ATM machine with them scoring points. Their team totals have been great. The overs have been great. They cover numbers like nobody's business. And they're even better in the first half of games because they usually just boat race teams, and that's the end of it. The thing with Washington is that I don't know any team, Ben, that I have seen ever that has won games in the final 60 seconds like Washington has with a rookie quarterback this year. I mean, it has been absolutely mind-blowing how they have managed to figure out to win games, which, again, you got to learn how to do that sometimes, because the fact that you have a rookie quarterback that has come in Jaden Daniels and done this, where Washington has 9 wins by 6 or fewer points. That's the most in NFL history, by the way. And they have 6 wins when tied or trailing in the final 10 seconds of regulation or in overtime this season. That's 2 more than any team since 2000, including the playoffs. Again, let me repeat that. They have 6 wins when tied or trailing in the final 10 seconds of the game or overtime this season, Ben. They are the definition of the cardiac kids here. I don't know how you bet against that. It feels like, man, just give me the points and let them do what they usually do in the final 60 seconds of the game.
And Joe, the number would tell you it feels like, much like our first game on Saturday with the other one seed in the other conference, the Chiefs in the AFC. This is the time a team that played on wild card weekend actually goes up against the best of the best and falls short. But the Commanders have defied even the final seconds of a game to come back and win all year long with a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels and a first-year head coach in Washington, Dan Quinn. The Commanders defied logic last week as well. Yeah, the Rams weren't necessarily truly at home, and both the Texans and the Rams were slight underdogs in their home settings. But the Commanders were the only team to win on the road in our 6 matchups during wild card weekend, outright as a 3-point underdog against the Buccaneers with Jaden Daniels, who became the second ever quarterback in NFL playoff history to lead a road win and not have his team turn the football over or punt the football, which is going to be a big story for this game as well. But Detroit, when they see a minus in front of their name, has been darn good. 11-5 against the spread for a second consecutive year, booked as the favored side. 49-22 ATS with Dan Campbell as the head coach in the Motor City. That is a cover percentage of 69%. Nice. It is also super nice because the Lions are the only team in the NFL in the last 4 years covering in more than 62% of their games, and they're covering in 69%. Can the Commanders continue to defy odds? They've been an underdog 4 times since week number 4. They are 2-1-1 against the number with 2 outright victories straight up. The only non-cover against the Eagles on a short week back in week number 11. There is so much to talk about in this game tomorrow night in Detroit, including the highest total of the weekend at 55.5. We'll do that up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
55.5 for a division around playoff matchup with a spot in an NFC championship game. Are you nuts? Well, it's inside tomorrow night on a Saturday in Detroit between 2 really good scoring offenses, including the best scoring offense in the NFL. Detroit, who averaged better than 33 points per game throughout the regular season. So, Joe, when you look at that total of 55.5, is it too high or does it feel fitting for tomorrow night's matchup in the Motor City?
It certainly feels fitting, Ben, given what we know about these two teams and what we have seen. And let's face it, Dan Quinn showed us last week, Ben, that, you know, the Commanders went that entire game against Tampa never punting, ever. Yeah. So here that, you know, this is, that means a lot of going for it on fourth down, right? That means taking chances. And we already know Dan Campbell does this. You got to love both OCs in this game with Kingsbury for Washington and Ben Johnson there for Detroit. These are two guys that they are going to have a great game plan to go out and score points. But having said that, it's a playoff game, Ben, and we've already seen what the unders are in the playoffs thus far.
Right.
And I don't know. Listen, you're telling me that you expect Detroit to win this game by margin, and if they're going to cover this kind of number, well, that means Washington's not having a whole lot of success offensively here. So I do think that the Commanders are the value play here, getting that many points. And if that's the case, Ben, if I think Washington can cover, I got to play the under, Ben. It's correlated to the under. There's no way that I think they keep it close and this game goes over.
Joe, I think you need a picture-perfect roadmap to get to 55.5 and push over that number. There can be no speed bumps. And we know these two teams and these two head coaches and what that mentality is. Fourth and two from your opponent's 22-yard line. Instead of taking 3 points and a 39-yard field goal, you're probably going for it. If you convert, great. A touchdown might be on the horizon. If you miss, you just wasted 3 points, which could cost you a game, could be crucial for the spread. But, Joe, more than anything, I think it is heavily important for that total. If you think this game pushes to the over, knowing how aggressive both of these teams are, you need fourth down conversions at a very high clip, and you need them to result in seven. That's how this game, I think, factors into the 55.5. I also think, Joe, in terms of big picture narrative moving forward throughout a postseason, what is most important to me with a Lions Super Bowl ticket is what do we get out of that Detroit defense? Healthier, who played in a game, also very playoff-like at home in the regular season finale against the Vikings with a total of 56.5, one of the highest numbers we had seen in 5 years in the National Football League. And that Detroit defensive performance, I think, reinstilled, Joe, in a lot of people, faith the Lions, despite the notable injuries that have been significant, can make a deep playoff run, allowing just 9 points. Jaden Daniels is better than that of Sam Darnold. I understand that. But what does Aaron Glenn's group do on Saturday night? I think that could be a huge story, not just for this game, but maybe the remainder of the postseason. Jaden Daniels is better, though, than Sam Darnold. And he will be expected to carry Washington to a close and competitive game. 234.5, his passing yards prop. 54.5 is his rushing yards number. It is the highest for that of the Commanders, where outside of him, Austin Ekeler, Brian Robinson Jr. have not been able to put up much on the ground as of late. 271.5, the number for Jared Goff. 2.5 passing touchdowns in a game that features a total of 55.5. We are expecting a ton of scoring from the league's best scoring offense.
Well, that rushing yards number for Jaden Daniels is important because that's the only way they've been able to run the ball lately, Ben, if you've noticed, right? Robinson, nowhere to be found. They have not gotten a whole lot from their running back position here. It has been Jaden Daniels' magic, him being able to make something out of nothing. So I'd even go far to say this. I think his ability to get up and over that number has a lot to do with their ability maybe to even sneak in the back door here and get a cover in this one. He is that elusive. He's done it enough times now. The moment's not going to be too big. And guess what? You know, it used to be the Lions were the laughing stock, right? They were never taken seriously. Dan Campbell and his group, they were always the underdog. Well, no, they're not the underdog, Ben. They are expected to win and win big at home. And, oh, yeah, win a Super Bowl now. That's a big role reversal. And you got a Washington team and Dan Quinn who's playing with house money here, which makes them very dangerous in this spot. But Jaden Daniels has got to go over that number for them to have a chance.
I think he's got to clear all three of the numbers you see there, even money to the over of 1.5 passing touchdowns. Did throw multiple last week on the road against the Buccaneers. And I mentioned he has the highest rushing yards prop for his Washington side. Brian Robinson Jr., 36.5. Now, Austin Eckler, also a huge part of the passing attack for the Commanders, but just 21.5 on the ground. The story in terms of backfields, Joe, for this game, that would be Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. We expect Montgomery to make his return, miss the final three games of the regular season for Detroit. And in Montgomery's three-game absence, it wasn't Sonic that was needed. It was Knuckles. Jahmyr Gibbs, at least 154 scrimmage yards in each of the three games without Montgomery, scored at least a single touchdown in all three, capped off by the performance of his young career so far, a four total touchdown game in that huge win over the Vikings to clinch this one seed and to be in this spot. With Montgomery back in the fold, but maybe not 100% healthy, Joe, how do you believe Ben Johnson coordinates the offense featuring those two backs tomorrow night?
I think you're going to get what you have gotten here. I mean, listen, they have been riding Jahmyr Gibbs now over the last month since Montgomery went down, right? They have not shied away from giving him the ball. But I do think David Montgomery inside the 10-yard line is an interesting choice. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked to see both of them out on the field at the same time, certainly in red zone opportunity. So I do think David Montgomery is going to have an opportunity here, Ben, to get some carries and get some things done. But, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs has been the workhorse. And given the injury concerns with Montgomery, you ride with what got you there. But don't be shocked if David Montgomery finds the end zone here.
More than a 35-yard gap between their two rushing yards props, but you can see both are heavily favored to find the end zone. Jahmyr Gibbs at minus 240, a ridiculous number, but the game does feature a total of 55.5 points. Montgomery, though, even minus 165. Amon-Ra St. Brown, minus 140 for Detroit. The best scoring option for Washington, that's Terry McLaurin at plus 130. Jaden Daniels, second best price at plus 160. Career year for McLaurin, a lot of production from everybody for Detroit. And De'Ami Brown, a big factor in this Commanders passing attack the last few weeks for Cliff Kingsbury and Washington. Joe, if you had to pick a guy out of a plethora of options through the air, who gets your attention?
It's Amon St. Brown, period. The guy does not drop passes. The over 6.5 receptions, I have no problem. No problem anytime touchdown. Yeah, I think for sure he is going to be poised for another big game when they need it the most. Yeah. And Terry McLaurin, the go-to guy. Yeah, why not, Ben? If he's going to do it, he's going to do it in a big way. He can probably get over 68.5 yards in one play, by the way.
Again, I think they're going to need that to be the case, to stay in this game, to force it to be a high-scoring affair that the odds expect. Amon-Ra St. Brown did not score in the first two games of the year for Detroit, then scored a touchdown in eight straight, then did not score in three in a row, now has scored in three of the last four. Did not score against Minnesota, but still had six grabs for 77 yards, a huge component of that Lions offense. Now we'll talk beyond division around weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is divisional round weekend in the National Football League. You have heard us say it a few times. One of the best weekends of football each and every season because you have the best of the best, the cream rising to the top, competing for spots in the biggest games of the season. That includes next weekend, conference championship weekend. And that should be a part of your conversation for how you see things playing out in these four matchups in the divisional round. What would it mean for a conference championship game? What would it mean for a run to New Orleans and a berth in Super Bowl 59? We start with the AFC. We'll get to the NFC before we round out this second hour. Hypothetical AFC championship game odds. Again, the Chiefs are an 8.5-point favorite against the Texans. I think everybody expects, even if the Texans keep the game within margin, KC does enough, has enough in its playoff pedigree to earn a spot in the AFC Championship game for a seventh straight year. The question really, Joe, is who would they see in that AFC title matchup? Would it be the Ravens, an ever so slight favorite in Buffalo on Sunday night, or the Bills holding serve at home? And you can see right there, even if it is Kansas City at home, the Chiefs are only going to be an ever so slight favorite against both Baltimore and Buffalo.
Yeah, and I could absolutely see the Chiefs getting money quickly, too, when that opened up. And I don't think it would ever get to three, Ben. I don't think it would get to a field goal, but it does feel like either way, whether it's the Ravens or the Bills, it does feel like the Chiefs would be and maintain the favorite role there. Listen, the Texans-Ravens is interesting since we've seen it. That would probably be double digits. And the Texans-Bills having to go to Orchard Park, yeah, they should also get to double digits. So assuming the Texans don't advance, I think it's going to be interesting where that number lies. Given the fact that the Bills on a neutral field are being priced as if they'd be a field goal underdog right now. And I mean, look at that. You gotta be kidding me. Are the Ravens that much better than the Bills, but they're not better than 1.5 against the Chiefs? Is that really what the market is telling us right now?
And Joe, it's a closer distinction in the money line prices for those early forecasted spreads for the AFC Championship game, the Ravens in Kansas City against the Chiefs, than it is for the division around matchup with Baltimore as an ever so slight road favorite in Western New York. I don't mean this as a shot at the Texans or to overlook Houston by any means, but if Houston were to play spoiler to Kansas City, win a game in Arrowhead to play in an AFC championship game, you would almost think their luck would not run out, that they have kind of defied those odds, and thus they would be around that that spread for an AFC championship game, and that number would probably work its way down, you would expect. If the Texans can slay the Chiefs, why couldn't they beat anybody? Maybe that would be the thought. But the real conversation is, Joe, because again, Kansas City is an 8.5-point favorite against the Texans tomorrow to kick off divisional weekend, that Kansas City is going to win that game. And KC, yes, has been a little bit lackluster at times in its first 16 games this year, winning 15 of them, but only by an average margin of 6.1 points per game, eighth best in the NFL, that maybe this is the year Kansas City does not stand atop the AFC. I don't think either of us expect that to be the case, at least until entering next weekend. So look at these numbers right now. The Chiefs plus 135 to win the AFC crown. Once again, they've played in an AFC championship game six consecutive seasons. The Ravens have that second best price, the Bills 30 cents back at plus 240. Again, the money line numbers for a potential matchup in Arrowhead for the Chiefs against either the Ravens or the Bills is minus 110 for KC against Baltimore, minus 106, that is it, a 4-cent difference for the Ravens, minus 118 for KC against Buffalo, even money plus 100 on the Bills. So if you are convinced that Buffalo and or Baltimore, whoever you think has a better shot of winning the final game of the divisional round, is going to advance the AFC Championship, it would be worth a bet, Joe, in my estimation now, to wager on one of those numbers to win an AFC championship game, despite the fact it is a toss-up on Sunday evening in Western New York.
I agree, Ben, and I wouldn't even stop there. I'd also look at, you know, the exact forecast, too, about whether you think it's the, not only do you think the Ravens win the AFC, but you think the Ravens end up beating the Detroit Lions or the Philadelphia Eagles. And I would ride it all the way through, Ben. I would just ladder it. Whoever it is you think is coming out of the AFC, I happen to think they're winning the Super Bowl. So at that point, Ben, I'm laddering everything. I'm taking the AFC price, the Super Bowl price, and the exact forecast price on who I think they're going to beat out of the NFC, which feels like it's also a two-horse race here, no?
Yeah, and listen, I think it's a really great point as well, right? There's a lot of thought that this divisional round matchup in Orchard Park on Sunday night is the de facto AFC championship game. But we have looked past Kansas City a ton at times. Last year, had to go on the road for the first time to win an AFC championship. Check, and check. And they still won a second consecutive Super Bowl. I will say this, though. KC is trying to make history. They are now the ninth team in NFL history to win back-to-back Lombardi trophies. The previous eight, nobody has played even in a third consecutive Super Bowl, and only three have reached a conference championship game. So KC is trying to defy that on this dynastic run. And Joe, in a game against either Baltimore or Buffalo, it would be a razor-thin edge for who would win the AFC championship.
Yeah, it's going to be razor thin either way, Ben. It's going to be, I think, a very, very good. I don't think there's going to be any surprises. Let's go that way. If you're looking for a big dog or a big bomb, I don't think we're getting it the rest of the way through.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that would be the case in the NFC. And again, it might be worth a bet even on the Chiefs price, because then you could have an exact middle next weekend with very little return necessary with how close those money lines are expected to be. AFC to NFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The hypothetical lines for NFC championship games and our potential matchups for a weekend from now. Again, it's a wrinkle that you must know, down to the final four in each conference for the divisional round. Here are the hypothetical numbers, and again, what we expect to happen with two rather hefty spreads for the divisional round. Detroit, more than a touchdown favorite, laying 8.5 at home on a Saturday night against the Commanders. The Eagles are under a touchdown, but pretty close to a touchdown, a 6.5-point favorite on Sunday afternoon at the Link against the LA Rams. So what we have often expected, Joe, in what has felt at times like a two-team race in the NFC, would be the Lions and the Eagles, the one versus the two for an NFC championship at stake next Sunday in the Motor City. The Lions would be a short 2.5-point home favorite. If the Rams pull the upset, and we see Matthew Stafford return to Detroit once again for a second consecutive playoff run, nearly a touchdown in favor of the Lions. If the Commanders somehow pull off the upset tomorrow night in Detroit, they would be nearly a touchdown underdog against their divisional mate in a conference championship matchup against the Eagles. And the Rams would even be an ever so slight favorite with home field advantage against Washington in an NFC championship game that, frankly, we don't really expect to see. I think the focus, Joe, should be at the very top. One versus two, Detroit hosting Philadelphia, basically as the odds have told us for the last 2 months or so.
Yeah, I mean, listen, history tells us, Ben, when you take a big look here, that number one, number two, usually collision course, or at least the number one seed in all likelihood will be hosting with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Although it was a couple of years ago, I believe, was the first time since 2009 where road teams actually took the round, the divisional round, by winning three of the four games when we got to this point. It's been all chalk the last couple of years, but there is some recent history where maybe we shouldn't sleep on an outright underdog. I don't think it's going to happen. Well, it probably will happen with Buffalo, but I don't consider them to be a dog of any sort. But the question is, could we get a Rams or a Commanders team that is going to be playing for a championship? It would, if it's going to happen, I think it's going to happen on this side of the bracket here, Ben. So yeah. The Rams at the Lions, I don't think we're going to get two of them, but Commanders or Rams, pick your poison. One of those two teams could absolutely play spoiler here this weekend.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to see that be the case because, Joe, it does feel like a toss-up between the Ravens and the Bills. But if one of those teams made a conference championship, whoever wins in a pick'em game in Western New York, it wouldn't be overly shocking. If we saw the Commanders and the Rams, that would certainly surprise some folks. I think even if we got one upset outright, maybe not a close game within a margin of 6.5 in favor of Philadelphia or 8.5 in favor of Detroit, that would be a very different story. You look at those NFC Championship odds. Again, it really is a tier of two and a battle of one versus two. The Lions, even money, plus 100. The Eagles, plus 170. And that would be a 2.5-point spread in favor of Detroit next weekend at Ford Field. But if you think an upset might potentially be out there, some very juicy numbers on the Rams at plus 650 and the Commanders even in four digits at 11-1.
And now would be the time to bet one of those two teams, man. Just now would be a good time because those numbers will be significantly less if one of them actually does the unthinkable and wins as a underdog here. And listen, under a touchdown and a divisional round, I don't think the Rams is that crazy at plus 650, if we're being honest here. It's not like Nick Sirianni and the Eagles provide, you know, this long history of playoff and Super Bowl success. So they're not the Chiefs. Rams might be alive this weekend. Be careful.
I think there's an argument to be made. The Rams have the most playoff success of any of our four teams. Yep. Remaining in the NFC, the Eagles made a Super Bowl two seasons ago, trying to get back to that peak. The Rams won a Super Bowl 3 years ago with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. Can they get the Rams back to there with a couple of upsets along that path? Germanary, we have to say goodbye to you here. We appreciate the time on this Football Friday. My friend, enjoy a sensational divisional round. Thank you for all the handicapping acumen on this Friday.
Yeah, let's cash some tickets here. It might be a little chalky, but there could be a bomb available, I think, on that NFC side. So tread carefully.
We like to see a little bit of chaos. A Football Friday treat up next.